Famous Amos chocolate chip cookies are so iconic that I just say Famous Amos and it's like I can taste it. Each cookie is filled with semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch. And the word satisfying is very key there because some cookies are crunchy and brittle, and I don't like that. But Famous Amos has a deep, tooth-sinkable, satisfying crunch that I know and love. And Famous Amos classic bite-sized chocolate chip cookies are bringing back the original recipe that everyone knows and loves. One perfect bite, everything classic in a cookie. Find Famous Amos cookies anywhere you buy your favorite snacks. I'm standing in the middle of a supermarket parking lot in Harrison, New York, about 25 miles north of New York City. And the guy I'm supposed to meet here is late. But when he does show up, he's easy to find because he's driving a big red fire truck.
Usually I'd like to get here a little earlier and like just like start prepping everything out, you know.
This is AJ Fusco. He's a firefighter in town. He's cooking lunch at the firehouse today and he's behind schedule. He was late to meet me because he was on a call, which, of course, I understand, but he has to answer to the guys at the firehouse, who are already getting hungry. Fortunately, AJ's got a strategy.
We'll have Donnie make the guac first, so that way when they start getting antsy, like, oh, well, yeah, when's lunch? When's lunch ready? Whatever. We have something for them to pick on and keep, you know, keep them quiet.
What's the, at what point do they really start getting restless? Is there a time that you're like...
1 o'clock is like, you're pushing lunch at 1 o'clock. We used to work with a guy, he just retired, 12 o'clock on the dot, every day he'd whistle into the intercom, you know, lunch. But he just retired, so it's not as much pressure on us anymore.
But still, 1 o'clock, you're going to have some angry firefighters.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hungry now, you know, so I'll probably be a little hangry myself. It's part of like the dynamic of firehouse cooking. You never know when you're going to have to stop.
This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. Today on the show, can AJ get lunch on the table before the crew mutinies, or will a call come in and ruin the whole meal? There are a lot of great firehouse cooks out there, but AJ's a little different because he went to culinary school. He's also done some moonlighting as a chef at an upscale restaurant in New York City. As you'll hear, that work has more in common with being a firefighter than you'd think. As we enter the grocery store, AJ tells me today he's making chicken tinga tacos. Chicken tinga is spicy Mexican shredded chicken. AJ's crewmate Donnie is pitching in with his world-famous guac. So AJ, as you're walking through the supermarket, are you thinking about who's on duty? Who's your audience for that day?
100%. So our normal crew is me, Donnie, and this other guy, Rob, you're going to meet. I know them like the back of my hand as far as what they like, what they don't like. But then if a guy's coming in on maybe an overtime or a mutual shift and... now I got to figure out, okay, he doesn't like rice, but the other guy doesn't like pasta. So now I got to like figure out another carb situation because that's very important. Need carbs.
Bakery, please pick up line 3. Bakery line 3, please.
So AJ knows his audience, but he likes pushing the guys to try something new.
I'm going to get some cotija cheese.
Okay.
Normally it'd be like shredded cheddar or something like that.
Are we going to tell the guys it's cotija cheese or you're just going to tell them it's...
No, they actually like this.
Okay.
Because I said it was like a Parmesan cheese. Which really isn't.
We'll get to the cooking and eating at the firehouse. But right now, let's hit pause on that story. And let's spend a little more time with AJ Fusco. He was born and raised in Harrison. His family's lived there forever. His dad's a cop there. His uncles are volunteer firefighters there. AJ is soft-spoken, but he has a quiet intensity about him. It's easy for me to imagine him doing well in pressure situations, even enjoying it. He's been a full-time firefighter since 2005, which is also when he started getting into cooking.
The cooking got serious once I got hired with the fire department. That's kind of like when it took off.
Why?
I think it was because I was no longer cooking for myself. I was cooking for the guys I worked with, and then guys started telling me they liked it, and, oh, make that again, or we really liked what you made last tour. You know, once I started hearing those things, I was like, man, this is cool. I like this.
When you first started getting into cooking school and cooking professionally, I gather that the guys in the firehouse were very supportive and you said that they like helped you with changing your shifts and all that, you know. But do they also kind of give you a hard time about it?
Yeah, a little bit, especially in the beginning. So I would get the, you know, oh, we're all fancy now kind of deal, or my cooking style changed where I'm making all different sauces now, you know, coming from like a French train school. So they would bust my chops about that. And then if you screw up, now you've got this whole, oh, well, you went to culinary school and you're still burning toast in the toaster oven, which true story has happened. And it's like, I just paid a lot of money for culinary school and I'm still burning toast.
I still can't make toast.
Yeah. You've got a lot more to live up to, you know, more expectations to live up to for sure.
What part of your firefighter training comes in handy when you're working as a cook?
You know, dealing with a stressful job. I don't know. You don't have time to really think. You just do it. You know, and I think the same thing with like the fire thing, you know, it's kind of like, just do it, get it done. You know what you have to do, but you don't overthink it. And, you know, there's the adrenaline behind it.
And what about, what is working in a restaurant kitchen? How has that affected your work as a firefighter?
Here, it's kind of like, we're all kind of in the same boat, you know, that same level, you know, whether it's economic or socially or whatever. In the restaurant, I'm dealing with people that are just trying to make ends meet. I'm blessed for what I've got, you know, and these people are really working hard. I don't know. I just feel like I'm a little more compassionate towards them, I guess.
When we recorded this episode in 2018, AJ was moonlighting as a chef at White Gold Butchers. It was an upscale butcher shop and restaurant in New York City. When he's cooking in the firehouse, he loves to bring in the foods he's learned about in the restaurant. For AJ, growing up in an Italian-American family, tacos meant shredded iceberg lettuce, black olives, Ortega seasoning. Today, AJ's making tacos with limes and cotija cheese. That's the crumbly white cheese traditionally served with tacos. Sometimes the other firefighters are skeptical of these unfamiliar ingredients. But that doesn't stop AJ from trying to up his game.
The first time I made tacos here, I could probably guarantee, I don't remember, but I could probably guarantee you I never toasted the tortillas. The first time I made family meal in the restaurant, which to me is a direct correlation to making food here.
That's like the meal for the staff when you cook for the
staff.
Exactly.
Yeah, you cook for the staff. First time I did it, I heated the tortillas up just enough to like where to get the chill off them because they were in the refrigerator, and that was it. And in a very nice way, my buddy Javier pulled me aside and said, "Dude, make them sexy. You know, put some char on them." And he showed me how to do it, and it tasted so much better. You know, and it's like little things like that that they've taught me that I'm able to bring here and kind of like not, I don't tell them when I'm doing it. I don't want them to have to think too much. I want them to just enjoy the food.
And I know that you've done a lot to try to introduce them and the guys here in the firehouse to different ingredients, different dishes. Why is it important to you to try to provide, the word authentic is always sort of like a problematic term, but like for lack of a better term, like why is that a priority for you to introduce the guys in the firehouse to a more authentic version of these foods?
Once I experienced what a real Mexican taco was, I was like, man, this is amazing. It's kind of like Italian food. You know, it's simple, you know, simple ingredients done well. And when it comes to cooking for these guys, I want them to experience that as well. I don't know. I mean, you know, a lot of the guys I work with, they wouldn't be the ones to go to like a high-end restaurant. So maybe another part of it is make them food that they might never even get a chance to experience. That's something I could offer them. Sometimes I drift back into that macho firefighter mentality, and then I go back into like the chef mentality. But even to me, chefs and cooks, you know, kind of have that blue collar attitude too. You're working hard, you're working long hours, you're doing things that most people don't want to do. They want to reap the rewards of your cooking, you know, they don't want to sit there in a hot kitchen. So I think we kind of relate on that way.
Well, it's funny because when I first saw that you're working at White Gold, and it's like that's April Bloomfield's place, and she's like high-end, you know, very well-known, big-time chef in New York City. My first knee-jerk reaction was like, oh, that must be such a different culture from a firehouse. But then I thought, well, but really, I mean, it may be fancy out front, but in a kitchen's a kitchen.
Yeah, it's so similar in ways I've never thought they would be. It's hot, right? I mean, there's usually fire, right? Things have to be done a certain way, and it's usually under pressure. You're usually working with somebody else, and maybe you don't get along with them all the time, or they might want to do it differently, whether it's plating the dish or whether it's cutting the door open to the car. All these things, and I'm like, geez, it's literally like working in the firehouse.
Coming up, we'll hear about the role some of the other firefighters in the department have played in AJ's journey.
With AJ going to culinary school, We were his guinea pigs.
So if something sucks, they're going to let you know, and you're probably never going to make it again.
And we'll leave the supermarket with a fire truck full of groceries and a deadline fast approaching.
Probably better, more comfortable sitting.
Okay, cool. Thanks. I am riding in the fire truck.
Saute, you stay, because it's time for some ads.
Recently, I went into my closet to try to get a collared shirt out, and it occurred to me that I don't think I have bought a new collared shirt in 5 years. I mean, every shirt in there was either really old, or it had some kind of perma-stain situation, or it probably never fit right in the first place. I gotta freshen up a little bit here. It's time for something new, right? And spring is coming. Now is the time if you've been looking to refresh your wardrobe, home, or skincare and beauty routines this season. Because, you know, Walmart has genuinely surprising style finds that don't break the bank. This spring, there's only one destination for the latest fashion, home, and beauty inspired by real life. Walmart. I freshened up my wardrobe. I got some nice dress shirts, a couple light hoodies. You know, you need light hoodies for the springtime. Very useful, very comfortable. Discover surprisingly stylish new season favorites at Walmart now, or shop it all on the Walmart app. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending. Now trending, your style at Walmart. Whether you're a family vacation traveler, a business tripper, or a long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. They've got over 7,000 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels, and you will get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. I especially love those Cambria Hotels. They have locally inspired hotel bars with all kinds of specialty cocktails, downtown locations right in the center of all the action. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces. That way, if you're a business traveler, you'll be able to get all your work done. On-site restaurants, fantastic. And then at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles and great pools for the whole family and spacious rooms. I mean, if you have kids, you understand the importance of the pool. If you stay at a hotel with a pool, almost nothing else matters. Fortunately, all the Choice Hotels take care of all the other stuff too, but I mean, a pool is a great start. Whatever kind of vacation you're going on, whatever kind of travel you're doing, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. A few years back, my friend Justin Warner from Food Network moved out to South Dakota. He opened a ramen joint, and he is always posting pictures of all the great food he's not only cooking, but eating all over South Dakota. He's always telling me to come visit. And you know, one of the best ways to experience a new place is to eat your way through it. But it's equally important to live your way through it, too. And when you summer in South Dakota, you can fill up on all the lake days, hikes, rides, and small-town strolls that'll leave you with a regained sense of wonder and a hunger to do it all over again. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at TravelSouthDakota.com. I continue to get a lot of flack for my PB&J technique, okay? Jelly on the top, jelly on the bottom, peanut butter in the middle. That's the way to go. And the first thing people say is, well, when you spread the jelly on both sides and then spread the peanut butter on top, you're going to tear the bread. And my answer to you is, use better bread. Like Hero Bread. You get that whole wheat Hero Bread, it's got some grain, it's got some heft, it's got some flavor, it's got some texture, and it will stand up to my excellent PB&J technique. Hero makes delicious breads that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, but plenty of protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, a savory breakfast burrito, or a mouthwatering cheeseburger, you can have all that with Hero Breads. And let me tell you, we are a big burrito-eating family in our house. Breakfast burritos happen multiple times a week, and these Hero Flour tortillas are perfect for it. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co, that's hero.co, and use code Sporkful at checkout for that discount. That's code Sporkful at hero.co. Welcome back to The Sporkful. I'm Dan Pashman. Oh, you got to check out last week's show. This is a big one. We uncover a New Jersey whiskey mystery. 6 years ago, Akil and Nisha Dayal found a whiskey bottle at an estate sale that seemed to come out of nowhere. They couldn't find any information online about the brand or the inn it was supposedly bottled for. So we decided to take on the case to try to learn where this mysterious whiskey came from.
The address is 237 Palisade Avenue in Garfield.
No business is coming up. I'm on Google Earth right now. What's this one? No. The Chinese restaurant is 235 Palisade Avenue, Garfield, New Jersey. The very next house, 239. There is no 237 Palisade Avenue in Garfield, New Jersey. Whoa. As we get closer to learning the truth, we discover this story is about a lot more than just a bottle of liquor. So I'm going to share my screen with you. I'm going to show you a picture of the bottle. You ready?
Oh,
oh my God.
It's crazy.
Are you serious?
This is a great story. I hope you'll check it out. It's up now. Okay, back to the show. After going grocery shopping, we got back to the firehouse. The firefighters are split into crews, so they're usually scheduled to work with the same group, their regular crew. A single shift is 24 hours, from 7 a.m. to 7 a.m. So during that time, a crew isn't just working together, they're living together. And firefighters are creatures of habit. They like their routine. Maybe because the other part of the job can be so unpredictable. In the morning, it's housework and truck checks. In the afternoon, training. And meals are supposed to happen on time. In his crew, AJ is the primary chef. Then there's Rob. He's kind of quiet. He usually does the dishes. He joined the department a few years after AJ. Finally, there's Donnie. He's a little older. He's got a salt and pepper mustache. He's been in the department for 20 years. Donnie's the one who's making the guac today. As he and AJ cook, Rob peeks in every few minutes to see when the food will be ready, which seems to make AJ and Donnie a little nervous.
Yeah.
I guess we don't want to see Rob get hangry. While AJ is the one who went to culinary school, I can tell Donnie knows his way around the kitchen. As he assembles his guac, his jalapeno chopping skills look pretty solid to me. Don, do you cook at home?
On occasion. On occasion. My family doesn't like what I cook.
Okay.
I tend to like things a little bit more spicy. I like peppers. Like I like bell peppers. I like those kind of like that kind of texture kind of stuff. Mushrooms and those sorts of things. And they more like chicken nuggets and french fries.
So the firehouse is where you can come for like more adventurous eating.
Yes.
So Don, what do people most often bust AJ's chops about?
His height. Mostly his height, you know, about having, you know, how he needs a step ladder to get into the truck, and you know, he shops at the kids section of the, you know, Kmart and all that. So, you know.
And what about when he first started cooking here? Did people bust his chops for that?
Yeah, well, a little bit here and there, you know, like
Donnie says the guys still tease AJ about the first time he cooked in the firehouse. He made beer can chicken, where you put a can of beer in a chicken's cavity and then stand the whole bird up on a grill. AJ tells the story.
Yeah, I'd done it a couple times at home, so I was like, oh, I got this, you know. It looks fancy. It's a nice, you know, display. So I put it on the grill, but I didn't turn the middle burners off. And so, you know, when chicken cooks, the fat renders and it drips, and it hit the fire, and we're sitting in the kitchen, and one of the guys, he's retired now, but he says, hey, is supposed to be that much smoke out there? And it was pretty much a fully involved grill fire.
It was AJ's first fire.
It was AJ's first job. He said it himself.
Yeah. I called it blackened chicken, though. Right. So, you know, I salvaged it. We took the skin off.
So the first meal you cooked in the firehouse, you started a fire.
Yes.
That's what you're telling me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, it's the first one that I remember, so might as well be. There's been plenty of mishaps since then. Oh, speaking of mishaps, Rob, come here, Rob. Introduce yourself.
Rob, this is your other, this is Rob. the other part of your group just walked by.
Exactly. Rob never cooks when I'm working because he knows I'll do it, right? But I come to find out he cooks when he's working with other guys. So I said, oh, that's interesting. So I'm busting his chops from them. I'm like, oh, I heard you made chicken piccata the other night. And he's like, yeah, I made it. I said, well, that's good because next time we work, you're going to make it for me. And he did. He made it. In the process of making it, he managed to spill about 5 gallons of boiling hot water on the ground, light a paper towel on fire at the same time, and shatter the top to the pot. So, and then cover himself with flour when he was getting ready to flour the chicken. But I will say this, it was damn good chicken piccata. It was a really good dish.
Rob, care to respond?
Nope.
Get a lot at it.
So the chicken is on the stove. You seasoned it. Well, give me a quick list of what you seasoned the chicken with.
Garlic powder, cayenne, paprika, oregano. Actually, no cayenne, sorry. Because I'm using the adobo. I don't want to go too crazy. Oregano, paprika, salt, pepper. I thought I had chili powder. I don't. I usually like to actually grind my own and bring it in, but I forgot to do that. My bad. Let me wash these peppers real quick.
In addition to trying to cook a little gourmet, AJ also tries to cook pretty healthy in the firehouse. Today he's making sautéed mushrooms and peppers for vegetarian tacos to go with the chicken. While he works, I poke around the kitchen. Each crew has their own pantry cabinet, kind of like roommates who each get their own shelf in the fridge. But so let's compare your pantry to the others. What is that? What's that one right there?
This mirin. Mirin? Which, this is something that I never told him I use this. But, but you know, it's just it's a cooking wine. It's a Japanese cooking wine.
You have the mirin, the red wine vinegar. You've got panko breadcrumbs. Now let's check out the next group's pantry.
You're not going to want to even probably eat half of this. Yeah,
they have
five cans of jellied cranberry sauce. And I'm pretty sure Ocean Spray doesn't even use that logo anymore. You got red clam sauce.
Red clam sauce that looks so old that the label is coming off the can.
Yeah, the glue is expired. Yeah,
they've got Ricola cough drops and like a gallon jug of iced tea powder.
That gets used. Yeah.
Well, I would just say that I would rather be in your squad, AJ. So do you feel like you're on the clock right now? Do you feel some urgency?
Definitely. It's 12:45. Remember I was saying like that 1 o'clock deadline is coming up. And I could tell Rob's already, he was kind of hovering a little bit. You could see he popped in, kind of checking in. I think we're looking at like a 1:30 eat time here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you just got an angry look from Rob over there. Donnie gets his guac on the table and it is really good. Perfect balance between salt and citrus and heat, and then just a great crunch from the little bits of jalapeno. Rob stops pacing outside and comes in to snack. And I finally get him to talk to me. Rob, I see you spooning little dollops of guacamole onto each chip individually. You seem to have put a lot of thought into this process. Tell me about it.
Cheap chips, they break in this also.
Oh.
We've got to solve the problem.
So you were concerned about the structural integrity of the chips?
Actually, I was concerned about sticking my finger in this guac when the chip broke. So if everybody else uses a spoon, nobody has to stick their fingers in it.
So you're concerned with hygiene is what you're telling me.
Yeah, big time. I'm the guy with, you know, I have to get my chips first before anybody else sticks their hand in the bag. They all make fun of me around here for it, but...
No, I mean, I think we all, for the most part, try to adhere to that rule.
Now, it took a couple years,
right,
but...
you trained us well.
A couple tantrums, you know, after they did it.
Is there anyone in the department who just absolutely refuses to observe your rule?
Oh, without a doubt. I've not eaten meals because guys have refused to do certain things. And
this may be like a dumb question coming from a non-firefighter, but I mean, like, don't you get dirty in your work?
Eating and your daily life is totally different. When it comes to eating, got to eat right, got to eat clean.
At this point, the meal is getting close. AJ has multiple pans on the stove, chicken sautéing, sauce simmering. He's putting some hot peppers right on the flame to char the outside of them. Everything is coming together. So you're sitting here right now.
Right.
There's chicken on the stove. At any second right now, an alarm could go off and you guys could have to drop everything.
Oh, yeah. The stove's getting turned off. Not even going to cover the pan, probably. You never know. It's part of the whole, like I was saying, you try to tailor your menu to something that's kind of firehouse friendly.
So like, what's an example of a food that like you would love to cook, but it just doesn't make sense because of the logistics of a possible alarm at any moment?
Like shrimp is kind of a huge gamble. And you know, I'd love to make like a nice shrimp scampi, but I hate overcooked shrimp. We like stews. One pot meals are great. Anything that, you know, you could keep in the oven, even if you have to shut the oven off and it's not going to overcook, something like that, that's always good.
That's a big reason why firehouse chili has such a long history. In an emergency, chili is the kind of thing you can just leave on the stove for hours. So, Rob, how have your eating habits changed since AJ started cooking here?
I've tried a bunch of things I probably would have never tried if I didn't work with him.
Like, so, what would have been some of the ones, some of the successes and some of the failures?
Oh, the quinoa for sure is a success. I really like it. What else did I try with you? The kale. The kale is a new thing.
Cauliflower mash.
That was something I would probably say I'd never ever eat, but it was good. Fail wise, I don't know. It made mushy peas one day. That's terrible.
Those were excellent. Wait, let's talk about Rob's pea situation.
I don't like peas. That's it. Like there's no other situation. I love split pea soup. That's it.
It's a texture thing, though. I get it.
I get that. Yeah, that
texture, taste, everything. I don't like peas. Let's talk about
that technique, Rob. At about 1:30, lunch is ready. Later than normal, but fortunately, no one was too upset about it, and there were no calls to delay the feast. Now, some firehouses have a lot of rules at mealtime. No phones at the table, probies or rookies have to sit with their backs to the TV. Some have a family hour after dinner where everyone is required to stay at the table and talk. In Harrison, they aren't so strict, but they do observe a couple of cardinal rules. If you cook, you don't set the table, and you don't do dishes. AJ laid out the chicken, sautéed veggies, onions, cilantro, hot sauce. Rob did raise an eyebrow at the cotija cheese.
You've eaten it before. Just asking.
You ask every time. I'm
going to eat it anyway. Just, I'd like to know what I'm eating. Actually, I really don't care.
That's that cotija stuff.
Yeah, I like that. It's a little bit bigger than normal.
I thought everything was fantastic. The sauce on the chicken had a deep, peppery spice. The tortillas were charred, nice and sexy, the way Javier told AJ to do it. But as good as I thought it was, AJ felt there was room for improvement.
I would have liked to reduce that a little bit.
Reduce the sauce some more?
Yeah, it's a little, like, soupy for me. And I probably should have made more mushrooms.
it looks like the whole firehouse is going vegetarian.
I'm working on it. Yeah. All right, you know what? You cook next time.
Let me get the cheese while that's still allowed on the table.
Don, what's your take on today's meal?
I'm going to give the tacos a 2. And the guacamole, a 5, 6.
You seem a little biased, though.
No, I'm not biased at all. No, the tacos are excellent. Everything is excellent, as always.
Our crew is good. He cooks, we eat. He knows what we don't like, so he'll accommodate us without us even asking. Other crews, as far as food-wise, they have to have a 45-minute discussion, argument about what they're going to eat. Who gets offended if you don't want to eat with them? So there's a lot of dynamics in the firehouse when it comes to food.
Right. Well, general, you guys spend a lot of time together.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, I'm sure that's part. I mean, like every job, you know, has its personality conflicts and dynamics. And that's just part of like being a human being and having a job. But, like, you guys spend long stretches together and sometimes have really intense work to do together, so I'm sure that makes it a little different from a typical 9-to-5.
I mean, at the least, we're together for 24 hours. You know, sometimes it's 36, 48 hours straight we're all together. And
yeah, you could go into a different room, but it doesn't mean you have to not work together in a little bit on a call or something like that. You got to have to put that aside.
So when you guys are out on an especially tough call and you come back, what goes on here at the kitchen table?
The kitchen is like kind of like a therapist's office. So if there is something that's bothering you, whether it's work-related or personal life-related, guys don't have too much. I don't think guys have a problem kind of like airing it out, you know, and kind of getting it off their chest or whatever it may be.
The kitchen table is like, you know, the center point or the focal point of the firehouse. So we settle all of our, all of the world's problems at the kitchen table.
That's AJ Fusco, Donnie Dearborn, and Rob Porto from the Harrison Fire Department. AJ is no longer working as a chef, but he's spreading the word about great firehouse cooking around the world on his blog and Instagram page, Fork and Hose. You can check out the firefighters in Yuba City, California, who are making pozole. In Vancouver, they're cooking up salmon eggs Benedict. And at the Mohegan Tribal Fire Department in Connecticut, they whipped up some scallop crudo with pickles, ramps, golden beet, and hot honey puree. Holy crap, that sounds good. Oh my gosh. Anyway, check out AJ's Instagram at Fork and Hose Co. And I'll tag him in my post too. And while you're on Instagram, follow me at The Sporkful. Please take a minute right now and connect with our show in your podcasting app. Subscribe or follow or favorite, whatever the button is for you in Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify. Please hit it right now while you're listening. That way you won't miss future episodes and we can hang out more. Thanks. Next week on the show, the one and only Claire Saffitz. She's got a new book out called What's for Dessert? We talk about holiday baking, cooking with your loved ones, and we answer some burning listener questions. That's next week. Don't miss it. This episode was originally produced by Ann Sanny and me. Peter Clowney edited this episode with engineering help from John Delore. This update was produced by Emma Morgenstern and Andre Sohara and mixed by Jared O'Connell with music help from Black Label Music. The Sporkful is a production of Stitcher. Our executive producers are Eric Eddings and Colin Anderson. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Shanine Shelby from Columbus, Ohio, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.